Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Wallet Wisdom, a podcast presented by Lake Michigan Credit Union. If you're new to the podcast or been listening for a while now, Wallet Wisdom is designed around breaking down banking's more complex questions and bring answers to some of the things that matter most to you. I'm your host, Brett, and I cannot wait to get into today's episode. We are going to tackle a little bit about our Fed rates, as I know a lot of conversation has been around whether they're going to be staying the same, going down, and who better to bring onto the episode to talk about that than our VP of Accounting and our Senior Vice President of Finance. We've got Tommy Michu and Mike Steele here as well, and we cannot wait to jump in today's episode.
Hey, welcome. Nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
It is, I know, a busy time. There's so much that's going on. Obviously, there's just like the summertime is here. We are enjoying all of the fun things we can do. But, you know, midway through the year, there's this thing that comes along where the Fed has to kind of reevaluate on whether or not we need to consider raising, lowering, or keeping our rates the same. And I think for me especially, it's a little confusing to understand, like, what does that really mean? And how does that really impact, like, the bottom dollar? Because I think, let's be honest, today, most people, and hopefully you listening, are in the same boat where you're just like, you know, the bottom dollar number is what's most important. And so we wanted to really tackle into that. So thank you both for joining. My first kind of question, and I think just kind of set the tone, is, you know, what is that federal funds rate, right? And why should, I guess, the average family care when it changes?
Sure. Yeah. Can I take that?
Yeah.
So I'll give a little background on not just what is the federal funds rate, but what drives it, why does it change, and so on.
Yeah.
So there's a committee of 12 people called the Federal Open Market Committee, and they're the ones that are charged with monitoring the health of the U.S. economy. So they monitor it. There's just a ton of data that they follow, but there's two pieces of data that they focus on, and that's been driven by the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee, since the late 70s. Congress put into law that they have to monitor the inflation rate and the unemployment rate. Okay. And everything they do is driven on keeping those within a certain range. Since the late 70s, the FOMC has kind of set a target rate for inflation at 2%.
Okay.
So everything they do tries to get inflation to move towards 2%. The other measure, unemployment, they try to get that to be within 4-4.5%.
Sure, sure. So now I know that, so I've heard this term a lot of times when I've been looking into like a credit card or a loan or anything, there's this prime rate. Mm-hmm. Is that the same thing as this federal fund rate? Is that, you know, different? What does that look like?
It's different, but it's driven off of the federal funds rate. Okay. And part of the reason is, so the federal funds rate, what it is, it's a target set by the FOMC, again, to get the economy to move towards those couple of target rates that we talked about.
Yeah.
The reason that they can use that to move the economy is most banks keep money on deposit at the Federal Reserve Bank.
Okay.
The Federal Reserve pays banks at an interest rate of the federal funds rate.
Okay.
So banks, as they earn money there, as that rate goes up or down, they're more or less willing to lend money or hold money back.
Sure.
Based on those rates. And because it's money that drives banks' bottom line, it's gonna cause the banks to set their rates off of that. So as the Fed funds rate goes up or down, banks are gonna change auto loan rates, mortgage loan rates,
yeah,
credit card rates.
All that. So I guess when the Fed does cut rates or you know, kind of manipulates those rates, whether up, down, or the same, I guess, is that good, bad, like for the average family, and maybe whether you're borrowing or you're saving, like what is that? How does it really impact that?
Yeah, and it really depends on where you're at financially as a consumer. As rates go up, it's good for savers, people who have money in the bank. They have money in savings accounts, CDs, because as the rates go up, they're going to earn more on their savings, but not so good for someone who has a lot of loans because their interest rate's going to go up on those loans as well.
That makes sense. Okay.
And as rates go down, absolute opposite then. So good for borrowers as the rates go down, not so good for savers.
Interesting. Okay. So, you know, I think it brings up an interesting point because, you know, depending on a lot of different variables, I know people are kind of hopefully maybe reevaluating their budgets. You know, there's that time of year where, you know, I know a lot of people tend to evaluate their budgets more at the beginning of the year. But I know we've done a few episodes in the past about budgeting and when we should be doing that. And hopefully you have a chance to listen to that if you are catching up on past episodes. But I guess, so how can our members and also those just in our community kind of grow and learn on how to go about looking at whether the rates change and how to reevaluate my budget?
You know, I think the important thing to think about is people hear the word budget and it sort of has this negative connotation to it because it's scary to sit down and look at your finances and where you're at. But if you don't have a budget and you don't have that look into your finances and where you're going, it's kind of hard to really accomplish any of your goals, right? Yeah. And that's probably the biggest part is for people to sit down and to look at what they're bringing home in their paycheck and try to develop a spending plan. That really trips a lot of people up.
Okay. And yeah,
there's not any real magic to it. You know, a lot of it is making a list, and you can do that on a spreadsheet. You can do that on pencil and paper. You can do it however, but it's understanding what do you spend every month and, yeah, and what versus what you bring home and how can you live within your means, right? That's an overriding theme is making sure that if you only make X, you can't spend Y. And I think that's a big challenge for a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be.
Sure. Well, and with that, some of the challenges I know I've come up with my own family and budgeting is where to even start, you know, and just kind of, like you said, kind of getting that pen to paper and start putting down your expenses and, you know, maybe some of your goals or what you want to do. I know for like a fact, LMCU's got some great budgeting tools as well, like we've been talking about, where, you know, for those listening to check out, it's got those tools that are going to be able to help you, you know, do exactly what Tommy's saying, where you can really evaluate what am I spending? What do I want to spend maybe less of? Or, oh, wow, what ultimately comes out of it is I didn't realize I'm spending that much. You know, I can't tell you how many of my streaming services I've caught. And I'm like, really? I thought I subscribed or I thought I canceled that, right? But the more you kind of are looking into your finances, the more informed, like you said, we can be. So I love that. So I guess in the uncertain kind of economic climate that we're in right now, you know, how should families be starting to evaluate, maybe adjusting their household budgets in that space?
Yeah, so one of the sort of guides that people can look at, you know, we have something that's called the 50-30-20 rule for their budgets. And it's a pretty simple concept, and it's based on your net pay. So what you're taking home in your paycheck after you've paid all your taxes and deductions, and you're looking at 50% of what is left over in your paycheck should go towards your needs. So that's going to be your rent payment, your mortgage, your car payment, healthcare, if you have children, your child care, your groceries, sure, all of those kinds of things, right, that you got to have, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
Then you've got your 30% of what's left over that goes to your wants, right? So that's going out to eat. That's all of those streaming services maybe that you have, yeah, even if there's never anything good to watch on them. you know, if you're someone that likes to make a Starbucks run every day, sure, guess what? That falls into that
maybe line. I'm like a 4 or 5 egg a day eater. You know, I know eggs have gone up quite a bit. Is that a want then?
Not necessarily a want.
Maybe keep it to 1 or 2
yeah,
eggs a day.
Yeah, maybe you have 2 in the morning and then you're good.
But that's a good point about Starbucks too. You know, there's a lot of those little things that we don't think about because it becomes routine and we don't always recognize like, oh my gosh, it's a daily kind of habit of that Starbucks. And I'm sure listeners are like, don't you dare take away my Starbucks. I need that caffeine to live. That's a need.
You know, and for some people, it probably is.
Right.
But, you know, think the average Starbucks order is probably, what, $7?
Yeah.
And there's 30 days in a month. So do the math. There's $210, right?
That
has been spent on coffee.
Right.
And so that's, you know, would fall into that wants category. And then the final 20% is your savings and your debt repayment. And this is probably the one that trips most people up, right? So everyone should have a savings plan, right? Sure. And, you know, the good rule of thumb for a long time has been make sure you have enough money in savings that you can carry yourself for 6 months in case you were to have
an emergency fund.
Yeah, you need a rainy day fund, you know, in case you were to lose your job, if you were to be injured and you need to take time off or whatever the case may be. But kind of competing within that same bucket is paying off debt. You know, most people have some kind of debt that they're hanging, that's hanging over them, whether that's student loans, if they've just graduated college, or if it's credit card debt, if maybe you weren't a wise spender in your youth with credit cards.
I think we all have been in the situation similar, maybe not everybody, but this guy I know I have.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
It creeps up quick.
It creeps up quick. And, you know, kind of piggybacking off what Mike said, credit cards, almost all credit cards are based off of that prime rate.
Sure.
And so when rates go up, your credit card rate is going up. And, you know, a lot of credit cards price off of prime plus some margin. And sometimes that margin is 10, 14, 15%.
No kidding. Wow.
So the rate you're paying on that debt can be pretty high. So when you're looking at that 20%, it's like, okay, I want to put money in savings, but I also want to pay down. Let's say I've got three credit cards and I want to pay those down because they're high interest rate. And, you know, sometimes folks will say, you know what, I'm not going to put anything in savings right now because I've got to get
this paid off.
I've got to get this card paid off, right? And that, you know, may work out for them, but it may not because you never know when you're going to have an emergency or sometimes life happens, right?
And the next thing you know, you're putting all that money onto a card that you've been paying off instead of, that's a great point.
You pay your credit card off, but you have nothing in savings and something happens. And guess what? Now you're going to put it right back on the credit card. Mm. So it's really important to try to separate that out and make sure that you've got money going into a savings account and then you've got whatever's left over, you know, to pay down extra on your monthly debt. But the biggest probably key to all that is there has to be discipline, right? You've got to be disciplined to look at what you're earning, what you're spending every month, and then creating a plan that works for you. So, you know, my budget works for me, may not work for someone else, and everyone's going to be a little bit different. But the biggest component is not burying your head in the sand, making sure you know what's going on, and being disciplined with your saving and your spending.
Well, and, you know, I'm going to throw one other thing too out there, Tommy, for listeners is, you know, in these kind of uncertain times, I know, and we've talked about this a couple times, I know, on the podcast, is for those that are listening, this isn't the time, like you said, to bury your head in the sand. This isn't the time to feel embarrassed if your finances aren't where they're at. And, you know, if you're feeling stress or feeling any worry about that, I know it's easy to become a bit isolated because it can be embarrassing to others, right? That I'm going through some financial stuff, or maybe I didn't, you're feeling maybe like I should have budgeted better. I should have been more disciplined and you feel bad. That's okay, because we want to help you. We want you to come into an LMCU branch so we can meet you right where you're at. You know what I mean? And honestly, if you're not feeling that anywhere else, come see us, whether you're a member or not. We want to serve you and help you with this, you know, sometimes a difficult challenge of reevaluating the budget and really tackling the financial goals that we want. So I want to talk a little bit more about just smart, like, debt consolidation and saving strategies to think about. I know, like we were talking about, you know, again, that 50-30-20 rule helps to give us some boundary lines, if you will, to kind of put some buckets together. You know, the other thing I wanted to quick say is our accounts at LMCU, the fact that we can have free sub accounts. That has become a huge tool. If people like the Dave Ramsey cash envelope system, well, this is a digital version of that. And not a lot of places will give you free shares, like sub accounts like that, without extra fees. And it's just something we don't do at LMCU. And I think about how you could be saving for those different things. So, for example, your emergency fund could just be a sub savings account where you just naturally every week to have a little deposit into there. And you honestly just don't see it and you don't touch it. And it becomes easier because for me, and I don't know about other listeners, But when you see the money in your account, you're like, oh, I can go. Let's go get a steak dinner, right? But having that sub account and those sub shares are huge. I've heard from others as well on that. But, you know, talking again, you know, touching on how credit unions are positioned to help members through kind of these changes, you know, what does that kind of look like for us when we're thinking about debt consolidation and kind of those strategies?
Yeah, I think it's going to be different based on everyone's situation, right? when you're looking at consolidating debt, so I kind of look at it one of two ways. So ways that you yourself can work on paying off debt or refinancing debt that you have and hopefully getting a lower interest rate versus some third-party company, right? So when you're working on taking care of things on your own, there's different options that are out there. You know, everyone is probably getting credit card mailers in the mail, or you're seeing them online, or you're hearing it on the radio that, you know, you can open this new card and get 18 months with no interest.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, that can be an option for you, and you can transfer a balance to that card and you can really just hammer the balance down over 18 months and you're saving a lot of interest. The other option is you can apply for a personal loan, and we do those at LMCU all the time.
Sure.
And you can get a personal loan. Those are generally at a fixed rate.
Okay.
So the rate's not going to change over time, and they're generally fixed term. So you know you have, you know, let's say 48 monthly payments of X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
And you can use that money to pay off your other debts, and then you have one monthly payment. And generally you could save on interest because the rate that you're going to pay on that is generally going to be less than prime plus some big margin on a credit card.
Well, and like you said, those margins these days have grown exponentially. I mean, in a lot of cases, you're seeing, you know, 20 to 30% interest rates, and they're not a department store. I mean, those were kind of department store interest rates back in the day, and now they are kind of mainstream. And so that's scary in that space, you know, of how do I manage that? But like you said, a personal loan could be, you know, a lot less, you know?
Yeah, personal loans and even, you know, home equity loans right now.
A lot
of people have
a lot of equity
in their homes. And those tend to be definitely lower than credit cards and even unsecured loans.
Yeah, definitely. No, I love that. And I think that adds another component of kind of where the Fed rate comes into play. Like you were saying, you know, is it one of those situations where, hey, the Fed rate has gone down, now's a good time to look into personal loans? Or, you know, is this a situation where, hey, maybe we need to evaluate and just kind of maintain for a little bit, but, you know, or looking into other options? But again, with the personal loans, I mean, you might be, like you said, if the rates are lower, we may be able to get a better, you know, kind of return, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, even if let's say you get a personal loan at 13% interest, if you've been paying 29.9% on your credit card, you've cut your interest rate more than in half. And that can be, you know, a pretty smart way to concentrate on paying your debt down.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people also, let's say you have multiple cards and you know that you want to pay them off, they'll say, look, this one has the smallest balance, so I'll make the minimum payment on my first three cards, and on this fourth one right here that has the smallest balance, I'm going to just hammer it away until it's completely gone.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I've accomplished something, right? Because I've completely paid one of them off. And now I'm going to pay the minimum payment on the next two, and then I'm going to hammer away on this third one.
Yeah.
And you kind of follow that pattern until you get them all paid off. Other people look at it and say, this card has the highest interest rate.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pay the minimum on these cards, and the one with the highest rate, I'm going to hammer away at that one to save as much interest as I can. And then I'll pay the next highest rate and the next highest.
Next, sure.
So
There's a lot of different ways to go about it, right?
There's different ways of going about it, and you can do that yourself, right? You don't need a third party or a company to help you with that.
You can
actually just plan that out yourself and follow through with it.
And that's, you know, brings up a good point too, because you mentioned, again, there's a lot of these third party companies that will solicit for people to come, you know, get debt relief, get debt consolidation, get all that. And kind of to what you're saying, you know, I've always been worried that, oh, is that going to affect my credit score? And is there also, you know, is this even, it seems too good to be true if that really is what they're going to do and reduce this all down. But, you know, to your point, it's usually not free to do these programs. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Yeah. You know, these companies, right, they're not doing this out of the kindness of their heart. They're out to make a profit. So typically it does involve fees that they are charging you. And a lot of the times, you know, they're negotiating perhaps lower rates with some of your debtors.
Sure.
And the problem with that is, yeah, it can, you know, if your credit card company gets a call from this third party company and says, hey, we need you to lower a rate for Tommy, you know, it's a flag to them, right, that you're in a potential financial distress.
Sure.
It can have an impact on your credit card because they may be willing to work with a third party to lower your rates, but they're also going to close your account.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can have consequences on your credit. But, you know, these companies, if all they're doing is contacting your lender and trying to help you get a lower rate, most of the time you can do that yourself.
Yeah.
And you can do that yourself for free without having to pay another person to do it. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of using a third party for that. I think in some cases it can do more harm than good.
Sure.
And if you're disciplined enough, you know, and you develop a plan and you stick to a plan, a lot of times you can accomplish many of those things on your own.
Yeah.
And generally you're going to have less of an impact to your credit.
Well, and it also goes to show too, you know, you could look into these third parties and give them, you know, your money like that and have them do all this. But like you said, they're not in it to make you a better, you know, financial person. There's profit to be made there. Right. And
yeah.
I think that really separates, you know, those type of companies to people like us and what we do at LMCU, you know, that's part of what like we love talking about, which is we don't have all those fees. We want to give more back to our members. And how we do that is in a lot of different ways. And one of them is we're not nickel and diming you when we need to, you need help from us and we want to help support you and, you know, getting lower rates than, you know, anywhere else. You know, that's when you're not in it for just like the raw profit and you really want to be a partner like we are at LMCU, it changes the whole perspective. It changes the whole attitude too. So I love that. Okay, so also I wanted to jump in and ask too, especially with how with Fed rates and whether or not they go up, down, or in between, you know, as families kind of look at what to do with their household budget, you know, how does that relate also to this the overall like the U.S. dollar and the impact on American homes, especially in that mm-hmm. space?
So now we're talking a little bit about inflation.
Yeah.
The cost of goods going up every year, and hopefully at the same time, your wages going up mm-hmm. Every year, but they're not always at the same rate, right? So
yeah.
Like what we saw, you know, COVID, post-COVID, just
sure.
prices going up on goods incredibly. And part of that was just because there was such an inflow of money into sure. the economy. There was a lot of demand for goods, but mm-hmm. the supply wasn't there. So that's going to cause the cost of these goods to go up to slow the demand for those goods.
Sure.
So at the same time, wages weren't going up. So yeah, we saw just inflation out of control.
Yeah.
And wages not keeping up with that. So that makes it tough for families.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And at that point, then we begin to see a lot of times what people will do is they'll go to borrowing money, using credit cards to pay for their just everyday goods because
sure.
they're far more expensive than what they're used to.
Yeah.
So.
And then you get into that situation where you're starting to build up all that debt and then you're mm-hmm. trying to figure out how do I get out of that. Yeah, it is. It can spiral very quickly, you know?
Yeah, and one thing's family have to think about when that happens, because it happened before, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Be really cautious about borrowing, because oftentimes what happens is you're borrowing at a low interest rate when there's high inflation. That's oftentimes when inflation occurs,
sure.
when interest rates are low. Guaranteed, the tool that the Fed uses to slow down the economy
yeah.
and to curb inflation is they raise interest rates, because that slows down the amount of money in the economy. So there's less money for people to spend, and that just
kind of puts a hold
puts
a, for
puts brakes on the economy,
especially when there's different times that are happening. Like you said, during COVID, I mean, there's a lot of supply chain and a lot of demand, and you have to kind of manage that. You know, that's interesting.
Yeah, and the worst thing is then, so people are borrowing at that point while rates are low, but the Fed's going to raise rates, sure. And then you've got this big amount of debt out there with now all of a sudden higher interest rate on there. So sure. Just be cautious
so
about
you, yeah,
that.
Yeah, like so if you start running up a little bit on your credit card, you may have a low interest rate or a low-ish interest rate, but with potential changes, it could go up or down. And yeah, next thing you know, you're like, whoa, I wasn't planning to pay 25 cents per dollar.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, so then your $50 a month credit card payment now becomes $75 or $100.
Yeah.
That makes it tough.
Well, and you have, you know, American families are used to living a certain way, right? And they're used to a certain lifestyle. And as we've seen with, you know, a pretty big rise in inflation and the cost, you know, a lot of people aren't necessarily willing to change their lifestyle or the way that they've been living. And so the substitute for that can be, like Mike said, is, oh, now I've got to start putting some of this stuff on my credit card.
Yeah.
And it kind of ties into, you know, as you're looking at your finances and your health.
Yeah.
Is that necessitates a change to your budget sometimes. And that can be. That can be challenging if it's like, hey, I want my Starbucks every day. I don't want to stop having it, you know? And so maybe that starts going on a credit card. And so that can be, you know, a challenge.
It can be. So, you know, we've been talking so much about all the different things that we can do. And I think it's important to also relate it to the most recent changes that we have seen with the Fed rate, you know, kind of maintaining those rates at where they've been over the last little bit. You know, I guess from that, what can we also start to at least kind of begin to plan for in that space?
With the Fed maintaining rates where they're at right now, that gives us at least a few more weeks. The Fed meets about 8 times a year, so they'll meet again, and they'll meet a few more times before the end of the year, and again, go through the same decision process. So it's possible rates could go up or down through the end of the year.
Sure.
But for now, yeah, they're staying steady. Yeah. So what does that mean? For those, again, who are savers, that means rates aren't going down. That's a good thing. You're going to maintain the savings rate that you have right now. And I would point out, too, for those listeners who have money at other financial institutions, if you're not happy with the rate you're getting over there, take a look at our rates. LMCU has some great rates on all of our accounts, and we also match rates. So if you have a CD somewhere else that's maturing pretty soon, you like the rate where you're at, but you have accounts here and you want to keep everything together, come into one of our branches or give us a call because we match rates.
I love that. And again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier about how, like, we want to help our members. We want to help our communities, and whichever way that is. In a lot of ways, it's just finding these types of things. Like, we'll match your rate. You know, you can come over to LMCU and experience it, especially like you said, if you got your funds here.
Exactly. The other thing is for borrowers. So, couple things. Again, we don't know what the Fed's going to do at their next meeting. It's likely, based on signs we're seeing, that at some point this year they're going to cut rates.
Sure.
As opposed to going up. But again, that could change. That being said, if you're looking at a large purchase coming up, the fact that they didn't lower rates this time, if you can hold off on that big purchase, again, there's a chance they may be cutting rates a little bit later on the year. If you can hold off, you may see rates go down a little bit later this year.
That's great.
The good thing is they didn't raise rates. So again, if you need to make that big purchase now, come in and see us. We've got some great rates on automobiles, again, home equity loans, mortgages, very competitive rates.
Love that. Love that. Well, thanks again for tuning in. Be sure to follow us. We're on Facebook, Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on LinkedIn as well. Also, tune into all of the podcasting platforms. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're there. Lastly, we are super excited to be talking about our new YouTube channel that we are bringing content just like this. So be sure to check us out, subscribe for more content as it starts to come out, and we are super excited to keep the conversation going there. So be sure to, in the comments, let us know, what did you think about today's episode? And maybe how are you going to use some of these budgeting tools? We'll see you on the next one.